on paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
That's right. It's time for Frank's Faves. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN 720. And all show long, we're focusing on innovations for the home. And, you know, the big international houseware show is going on right now at the McCormick Center. I just left there before I started the broadcast. So I'm pulling my whole Ryan Seacrest act, going from shooting TV to radio. If only I could have his checks, that would be nice, Mike. If you could put a note into the big Jimmy boss over here. Tell him I need Ryan Seacrest kind of money.
I'm on it.
Thank you. All right, so, you know, part of these innovations and meeting these great companies over there, you know, I have to scout them, I have to see their products and get to know them. And one of the companies that I just fell in love with is a company called Storebound. And why I love them, this is, remember earlier in the show I told you guys to write this number down, 312-981-7200, that's our call-in number. If you know a budding inventor or you yourself have a great idea for a home innovation, whether it be the next floating beer thing that me and Mike were talking about that can hover over and pass your friend a beer without you getting up off the sofa, great. Anything like that, doesn't have to be beer related, but it's okay if it is. This would be the time to call the show, because our next guest, Evan Dash, who's joining us right now. Hey, Evan.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I was just giving, I don't know if you heard, I gave a little intro here to your company, Storebound. And let's just, before we, you know, we unleash the phone lines and the text lines of people who have great ideas, tell us about your company and why you would want to find these inventors.
So I spent most of my adult career working for big companies in retail, most notably in my last real job where I got a company's paycheck was at Macy's. And I had about two decades worth of people coming in and trying to pitch me new products and new ideas. And you know, when you work in the buying office at a big retailer, everybody's trying to get to you. And what I learned over the years was that so few inventors really understand what it takes to bring a successful idea to market and to go through the entire process of marketing it. And when I left Macy's, I had this entrepreneurial calling and really wanted to get into a business where I could set up infrastructure that could be used either by our company, other companies, or individuals to actually take their ideas, great ideas, and bring them into the marketplace.
Well, and that always seems to be the big dilemma, is you hear this constant story. Whenever I meet somebody who's like, I got a great idea. My cousin, as a matter of fact, called me up one time after listening to a segment. He's like, Frank, I got a great idea. How can I, you know, I want to make this happen. You know, can I just get into a store? I think that the layman inventor, you know, doesn't understand this process. And it's a huge process to get from idea to reality. And you guys kind of hold the hand a little bit of the inventor, right?
Yeah, we look to really take it over. The inventor, I think, brings it to a certain level, and where our expertise is might not be in the particular technology that they've developed, but certainly in getting it manufactured, in finding all the safety requirements that are required for it, in developing the packaging to all the specifications of the individual retailers that we sell to, coming up with the correct branding for it, marketing it to the media and having a PR launch strategy, and then getting it actually sold into the retailers in a way that you keep all the different retailers happy and feeling as though they're receiving fair treatment on the product. And then dealing with all the finances that go into it and the related technology challenges of just doing the bookkeeping with the retailers. Everything's done electronically on systems that really cost a fortune to implement. So for one inventor with one product, just to purchase the inventory and to have the systems in place to allow them to do business with the retailer and just even get started, they can be well into the six figures before they really even get going and know whether or not the product's going to be successful.
Right. And let's face it, most inventors, unless you're, you know, a Bill Gates or you got some crazy money behind you, don't have that kind of cash. And you know, at what phase do you guys typically take an idea? Like, can I be scratching on a napkin and be like, oh, Evan, look, I got this fantastic idea. Can you make it happen?
We've done anything from not even quite on a napkin yet, all the way through patents issued and trademarks issued and everything really in between, where we really come in and add the most value is when the inventor recognizes how difficult the part of it that we do is and that they want to turn it over at that point and get back to either coming up with other ideas or inventions or just getting back to their regular life and their full-time job and whatever else might be going on in their life.
And obviously, this is a business, so you'd be taking percentages of this, but I think it would be a safer route versus going to a big box direct, because big box direct won't even talk to you if you don't have a product, right?
Right. It's very challenging, even if you do have a product, just to get in front of the buyers. And when I worked in retail, I kind of took for granted that it was easy to do and didn't realize that for an inventor who calls a switchboard of a big box store, they may have a policy where they won't even give you the information of who the buyer is. It may refer you to a website with a product submission process, and that, from what we hear from most people, that tends to be a dead end.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. What a great service you're providing for a lot of, like, you know, budding inventors, and it doesn't matter. And you work with Kickstarter a lot, right?
Yeah, we love to put products onto Kickstarter. We've put one on this week that's doing extremely well 2 days ago, and we've already hit our funding goal.
Wow.
And we really use Kickstarter to help us validate whether or not there's going to be a demand from the end consumer. Because even if you get it to the retailer and the retailer loves it, that's not a guarantee that the consumer is going to love it. And so, the retailer pushes most of the risk back onto the supplier to either take back or help with markdown. So there's still risk even when you've gotten a big order.
So and so Kickstarter, this is interesting. So Kickstarter is a gauge for you in a way. Now, do you provide this documentation or this research when you do a pitch to a store? You say, hey, listen, we got, you know, X million people interested in this Kickstarter. You know, does that increase value for you? Like, how do you use that as part of your sale?
Oh, absolutely. And we have, our company has well over a million followers on social media also. And we're a relatively new company, and we've got more than 50 times the social following of big iconic names that you see all over on the big signs in the houseware show. What we use that for is just to demonstrate how in tune we are with the consumer. Because at the end of the day, you know, whether it's us or the retailers, we're a small group of people sitting in a room guessing based on intuition and some experience. But really, at the end of the day, it's the consumer that's going to make the decision. So if we can walk into a retail chain and show them that there is a consumer demand for this, the consumer loves it, and then go a step further and actually quantify that in 2 days, backers have already, on the current one that we're running, I think purchased about 400 of a product, a 3D food printer, that will retail in the market for roughly $300. That gives a lot of credence, and we're seeing things like that matter a lot to the retailers now.
Yeah, I want to talk about that product in specific as soon as we come back from our break, because that's one of the things that caught my eye as I was walking past the booth, as well as the peeler, the electronic peeler, which is just awesome. Then I was walking around, I saw a pizza maker that looked like a pizza box. But I don't want to talk until we come back from the break, because then we're going to get going and then it's going to go off. But before we break, I do want to, you know, the type of guy that Evan is, and I've gotten to know Evan a little bit and his company. Your story that you told me, Evan, about why you're doing what you're doing, when you were walking the floor and you met that, you know, woman and her daughter, can you just briefly kind of give that story?
Sure. I was a senior vice president at Macy's, walking a trade show, had my badge turned around so nobody would know that I was with a big retailer, and would like to try to just walk and talk and look for new ideas. Came across a mom and a daughter who had come up with a great product that was kind of born out of a need, and they had been working on it for over a year and had a design, a prototype made, and they had done such an incredibly commendable job getting it to the point that it was at, where it was now ready to sell to the big box retailers. And they explained to me that that another retailer had come in and told them that they wanted to buy 10,000 pieces, and they were talking about it as if they had just won the lottery, and talking about how they were going to take a second mortgage on their home in order to finance the inventory that they needed to buy. And I was thinking about it that they could wind up losing their home because they don't realize that the retailer may not pay them until the product sells through, or if it doesn't sell through, they may return it all, and they're going to have to pay the factory 90 days before they ship it to the retailer, and then the retailer is going to pay them 60 to 90 days afterward. And they were so euphoric about the opportunity that they had, but didn't understand the risk. And I really thought about it. And there's no lay person who's not in this industry that really should or would understand the risk of doing business like this and what it takes to bring a product to market and the losses that you can experience along the way. And that's really where the light bulb went off and said, I really would love to have a company that helps people, that if nothing else, opens their eyes to it and helps structure the right type of deals and make sure that we keep people out of harm's way with it. And as we got really moving with the business, it's taken on a whole other life form of really embracing these items and ideas and bringing them to market and doing most of the heavy lifting. Because what we found is that most people have other jobs and they want to get back to the other things in their lives. But that was really the genesis of how it came about.
When you do good things for people, good things happen. This is Evan Dash from Store Brown. We're going to have more with Evan as soon as we come back from the break. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN 720. And we're talking about home innovations. The big IHA, International Houseware Show, is happening at McCormick Center. We have a couple great guests all show long. Talking to us right now is Evan Dash from Storebound. He's the owner. You heard his story. And great guy, great mission for the company. So, Evan, now that we've kind of got the background, tell us about what's hot in your booth. I mean, there's a couple things that caught my eye.
Yeah, we've had so many things that have gained a tremendous amount of interest and so many things we've been working on for a long period of time that it's so gratifying to be able to show it in this kind of environment and get the opinion of, I mean, literally thousands of people in a 3-day period. The things that are really hot, I mean, we've had a crowd all day long, both days so far, looking at our pancake bot, which is the first 3D pancake printer that will allow you to print your breakfast. It's a product that we worked on with a inventor out of Norway who kind of accidentally promised his children that he would develop a pancake printer, and they held him to it, and he made the first generation out of Lego. And he's here with us in the booth telling his story about how it came to market and why we're working together. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, we've got some low-tech products like a rapid peeler that allows you to peel just about any type of fruit or vegetable really quickly, automatically, spiral it. It's healthy, it's fresh, and it goes to our mantra of unprocessing your food. So we've got a whole range and lots of things in between.
Yeah, and it's so visual. And the pancake maker, you can actually go to my Facebook page at Frank Fontana Facebook on my fan page, and I took video of the pancake maker, and it's getting so much buzz, and people are digging it. I can't wait for that to actually hit market. Do we know when that's going to be available in stores?
Well, we're telling people that it'll be available probably early fall of this year, but we believe that we're going to be able to deliver it sooner than that.
Yeah, and the idea is this. You could take a picture of anything, literally, right, and hook it up through your iPhone or your smart device, and it works through an app, is it, or a software?
So we have computer software for the desktop, and we're developing a mobile app that would let you trace any image, whether it's a picture or a sports logo, a company logo, and send that to the pancake printer via either an SD card or a Bluetooth connection and actually print that file out of pancake batter directly onto a hot griddle.
And the thing is, you don't have to really do anything. You input this to the computer. It's all set up. And, I mean, you have to, it looks like kind of, I know this generation you're showing now, it's kind of like a ketchup bottle looking thing upside down, and it releases the pressure. So I don't know all the ins and outs of the tech side of it, but I know it's darn cool. It's going to be gangbusters when it hits the marketplace, and your kids will think you are the coolest guy ever. Is that the intention of this product, Evan?
Absolutely. It's a major, major buzz generator. I can tell you, my kids are chomping at the bit to get this. But for us, also, one of the reasons that we decided to go forward with it wasn't just because it was a pancake printer and that's cool. At the end of the day, I'm not sure how many people need a pancake printer in their home. We were more interested in the technology that the inventor brought, which has so many applications where I think pancakes are going to be the tip of the iceberg.
Sure.
And it has the ability for cake decorating and cupcakes and printing so many different things, which could be a real breakthrough for people in the catering business or the wedding planning business. For breakfast buffets, we've heard from a lot of hotels and companies that want to be able to print their logos to leave more of a lasting impression. So we think there's a lot of applicability in that the pancake printer is really the tip of the iceberg on where this is going to go.
And I mentioned earlier the pizza, what it looked like was like a panini press, but it actually makes pizzas? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, so it's a pizza oven, and we have this mantra of unprocess your food. We have two different pizza solutions because we're encouraging people to eat healthy. We're encouraging them to eat fresh food, but we want to make it easy. And we know that people like to indulge, and there are much healthier ways to make pizza in the home. So we've created a couple of solutions, but the one that seems to be garnering the most attention is the pizza box, which is essentially, it looks just like a pizza box, but you can actually cook a pizza inside it. It's made out of metal, and it's got a rotating plate inside. So it's a great, great, I think, a holiday gift. And we've seen tremendous, tremendous attention from it. It cooks a pizza in about 8 minutes.
Yeah, and what I like about the Dash products and the store-bound products is there's a, you know, some are borderline kitsch, but cool and functional, and then some are straight up just smart. Like the peeler you mentioned, it's so smart. I mean, if you could visualize this, how would you even begin to describe it, Evan?
Right. I mean, we talk about products in terms of simplification and supporting more of our healthy mantra and making life easier, not more complicated. We're also developing some smart appliances, but looking to make them in a way that they truly make things easier for people. We actually launched a microwave at this show that has only 6 buttons on it. And if you went home and you counted the buttons on your microwave, you'd probably find on average about 26 buttons. And they're all small and difficult to read. And you probably only use about 3 or 4 of them.
You're right.
So our microwave has a big font, easy to read, backlit, and it looks beautiful on a counter. So those are the kind of things that we're going after. We're all about simplicity and trying to make people's lives easier.
Well, and I think that's an important overall message here, that life itself is so complicated at times, and we're such in a high-tech era in life. And it's nice to actually see a company take a step back and say, okay, let's focus on the simpler things here. Because you're right. I use my start button, my stop button. I use my 30-second button. That gives you an extra 30 seconds. I never use the presets, the popcorn, the potato. Those are all wasted buttons to me. So I think you hit the mark with that, Evan.
Yeah, changing the levels and entering the weight. I mean, there are things that, you know, we were hard-pressed to find people who actually use those. So if the microwave doesn't appeal to a fraction of people, we're okay with that, with somebody who wants that greater level of control. But we really do want to simplify it. We talk a lot internally about the aging population in this country, and you know, people have dexterity issues and arthritis, and certainly it becomes more and more difficult to see later in life, as I'm starting to experience firsthand. And you know, we wanted to go after easier, simpler type of items, and I harp on this with my product development team, always talking about the example of the telephone. And when I was a kid, the phone was the simplest thing in the house. It had a receiver and buttons, and that was it. And you look at the phones that we have in our homes now, with cordless and the amount of buttons that are on them and features that nobody knows how to use, and time and voicemail and all these other things, and the product doesn't even last. I mean, it's become disposable. So, you know, that's really something that we hold high. We try to make things that really perform. We talk to our customers. We love to monitor our reviews online and really take customer feedback to heart to try to make things better.
Well, you're doing it right, Evan. You're doing a great job. Storebound is the company. What's the website and social media?
Storebound.com is our website. You can follow us on Instagram at unprocessyourfood.com. And if you want to see the peeler in action, we have a website dedicated to that called rapidpeeler.com.
I urge people to go see this because I know you're thinking, what is Frank talking about? How can a peeler be cool? Trust me, it's cool. Go check it out. Evan, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'll see you back at the IHA show tomorrow. This segment was sponsored by Mega Home Improvement. Go Mega or go home.